This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of World Wide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the World Wide Wave.
Good evening. This is World Wide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show for the LGBTI community, taking you around the globe one country at a time. And a big thank you to the Informer team and Richard for bringing us the latest local news and good news about a tram to Monash University at last. On the World Wide Wave panel tonight, we have Carlos.
Good evening.
Alex.
Guten Abend.
Damien.
Buenas noches.
And I am Sarah. We've spoken many times on this program about the historic British sodomy laws that I am eternally embarrassed for and how they have spread throughout the world. Although Britain has updated their laws, the majority of countries that they colonised have kept these antiquated and discriminatory laws.
Tonight, we look at seven Eastern Caribbean countries, Antigua, Barbados, Dominica, Grenada, St. Kitts and Nevis, St. Lucia and St. Vincent and the Grenadines. What do these countries have in common that is preventing a change to laws that prohibit same-sex conduct between consenting adults?
What is behind the macho and often violent anti-LGBT culture?
And how brave do you need to be to stand up as an LGBTI activist in these countries? Getting our reggae on to challenge the homophobia, we are joined tonight by Boris Dietrich, Advocacy Director of the LGBT Rights Program at Human Rights Watch. Author of a new report on the East Caribbean titled, I Have to Leave to Be Me.
Boa noite. This is David from Brazil, listening to World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Agencia. You know, see all my sexy and me have a little cute face. Nothing them not have over me. Some gal watch me style and a chat, but a time them a waste. Nothing them not have over me. If a gal a bar man, me no care. If you take a gal man, me nah no fair. Me will take him anytime, anywhere. When me sit down on the wood like a chair. Boy, me walk out, brush me hair pon a gal, cause her man pay fit. Your man still a mad over. The same man where you own some pussy good, the time favorite. I see you not have over me. Him coulda tell you a bag of thing, give you a ring. My line still a ring. Your man still a mad over me. Me you a wife, but me a him everything. Pussy tie up your man like shoes with this string. Boy, you know see all my sexy and me have a little cute face. Nothing them not have over me. Some girl watch me style and a chat, but a time them a waste. Nothing them not have over me. If a girl a bar man, me no care. If you take a girl man, anytime, anywhere, when me sit down on the wood like a chair, boy. When me a sit down and a balance on it, boy. Your man a tell me say him want to span it, boy. When me a quint it, yo, we match a Spanish. Him is gonna be yes, I say I'm you one of it, gal. Be your time up, and me the man a mind up. Tell me say him love it, in a write it, in a join up. Sucks the money, him just a give me be a pile up. Say you annoying, gal, you come in like sinus. You know, see all my sexy and me have a little cute face. Some gal watch me style and a chat, but a time them a waste. Nothing them not have over me. If a gal a bar man, me no care. If you take a gal man, me nah no fair. Me will take him anytime, anywhere. When me see don't on the wood like a chair. Boy, you know see all my sexy and me have a little cute face. Nothing them not have over me. Some gal watch me style and a chat, but a time them a waste. Nothing them not have over me. If a gal a bar man, me no care. If you take a gal man, me take him any
anytime, anywhere, and me sit down on the wood like a chair, boy.
And tonight we are off to the East Caribbean, and so we are having lots of East Caribbean songs. That is Nothing Dem Noir Have Ove Me by Shenasi.
You're listening to The World Wide Way with Sarah, Alex, Damien and Carlos.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
And starting off, many of the islands have that we're looking at tonight have small and close-knit populations. And one of the constraints on LGBT citizens is the fear that everyone on the island will soon know if they are to come out. For example, the most northerly of the group of the islands is St. Kitts and has only 35,000 residents, so not much more than a small country town in Australia, really. And according to Human Rights Watch, members of the LGBT community face constant harassment and isolation, with most of the men that were interviewed by Human Rights Watch for a recent report had seriously contemplated suicide.
Dark.
These are not going to be that fun tonight.
But really interestingly and contrasting that gay couples abound in the international resorts of the most northeasterly of the islands, Antigua, but it's rare to see them on the island streets, probably because they know. Antigua only has a population of 103,000 and was asked to abolish its anti-buggery and serious indecency laws in 2016 by the UN during its Universal Periodic Review. But the island refused, saying that the, quote, moral and religious, unquote, nature of the Antiguan society would need to change first. It did, however, acknowledge that the laws would have to change if it was serious about human rights.
Now, when LGBT tourists post online questions about travelling to Dominica, yet another of these island nations that we're covering tonight, the answers are usually the same. LGBT laws aren't enforced, but the country is deeply socially conservative. And so there is a lot of advice out there to be careful, be discreet, no public displays of affection. And the country is about 74,000 people. It's kind of in between the other two. It lies in the centre of the Caribbean. It also rejected a commendation to overturn its anti-LGBT laws. And the situation in Dominica is virtually the same in St. Lucia, which also rejected decriminalising same-sex relationships in 2015.
Okay, and the story is largely the same to the south in St. Vincent and Grenadines, with a population of over 110,000, where nearly a dozen Christian ministers from this and four other Caribbean countries urged the US to stop promoting LGBT rights abroad in a 2017 letter to US President Trump. The country refused to overturn its buggery and gross indecency laws again, same story we're hearing over and over again, following its own UN review. However, it did admit that more and more young people accept gays and lesbians. Well, surprise, surprise.
Now, with its pristine beaches, Barbados, home of Rihanna, is a top tourist destination, making one of the Caribbean's wealthier islands. Similar to other islands, Christianity plays an integral role here, and LGBT people often speak bitterly about their treatment by the church. Arguably, the island's most famous citizen is the glorious Rihanna, who, of course, grew up in Bridgetown until she was 16, and the singer has long been an advocate for LGBT rights, and many believe that her influence could go a long way for changing attitudes in her country of birth. And there are indeed sides of change here, with the Anglican Archbishop of the West Indies and Bishop of Barbados making headlines in 2017 by publicly calling for every human being to be treated equally, no matter their sexual orientation.
Now, there's a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, wow, I'm shocked almost.
From the church, no less.
I almost had to do a double take of the reading there to just confirm that those sources were, in fact, those sources.
Yeah.
Now, the most southerly island of the bunch is Grenada, with a population of 108,000. The country tried to pass a rights and freedoms bill, which called for gender equality in 2016. Even though the bill said nothing about LGBT rights, religious leaders campaigned against it, saying that it was a step towards gay marriage.
Oh, that story.
That
again.
Story again.
They giveth and they taketh away.
Yeah, indeed. And the bill failed in a parliamentary vote. However, in 2015, the Prime Minister, Keith Mitchell, called for more tolerance for Grenada's LGBT community. So it's kind of a bit of a mixed bag, but all the islands seem to have quite a similar story, although the change seems to be coming around the tequila filled horizon.
I think there's a song about that somewhere.
Rum and raisins.
Rum and raisins.
Share your views with the world. SMS us now on 0427 JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
Now, British colonialism has left relics of their sodomy laws across the Commonwealth, and a new report on discriminatory laws in all of those Eastern Caribbean countries called I Have to Leave to Be Me covers seven countries that we've just discussed now: Antigua, Barbuda, Barbados, Dominica, Grenada, St. Kitts and Nevis, St. Lucia and St. Vincent and the Grenadines. And all seven countries have versions of buggery and gross indecency law that prohibit same-sex conduct between consenting persons. We talked with the author of the report, Boris Dittrich, from Human Rights Watch, about the high levels of family discrimination.
Yes, the report, it's called I Have to Leave to Be Me. It covers seven countries in the Eastern Caribbean, small islands. Some of the islands have less than 100,000 inhabitants. And so family is very important. Everybody has family. Everybody knows family members. And so it's very difficult if you stand out because of your sexual orientation. And so what happens is that if people are not hiding themselves, but when they want to come out to their family members, the family often, very often, I should say, reacts in a very negative way. And so we've seen in all these people we interviewed that most of them have been sent away, chased out of the house, sometimes threatened with violence by fathers, mothers, or brothers. They are left on their own. So homelessness is a very big issue in the Eastern Caribbean for LGBT people. And even when you are chased out of the house and you live on your own or you're roaming the streets, you're not safe because sometimes family members feel so insulted by the fact that their son, for instance, is gay, that they're after them and they're trying to kill them.
Yeah, and there is that really aggressive macho language around, kill the gays. It's very, very aggressive.
Yes, that has to do with music, with especially rap music, which originates in Jamaica, but it's also very popular in the Eastern Caribbean. So I remember one of the guys we interviewed said, well, everybody knows that I'm a buggery man, that I'm gay. And once I wanted to go to a dance, and then when the DJ saw me coming in, he stopped the music and said, hey, there's a baddie man. And everybody started shouting and screaming, and then he put on some music. And the music was actually, the refrain was, kill the baddie man, kill the gay man. And so he had to run away and hide himself because people were after him. So it's really very, could be very aggressive. Of course, there are also positive examples, but on the whole, people are very, very discriminated against because of their sexual orientation or gender identity. And the lowest on the ladder are transgender women, because they are very visible as transgender. And so they are ostracized and people are throwing stones at them and, you know, cannot find a job. So some of them end up in sex work.
And that was Boris Dittrich, Advocacy Director from the LGBT Rights Program at Human Rights Watch. Coming up, we asked Boris about the personal stories he heard during the making of this report. This is World Wide Wave.
This is Douglas.
And this is Paula.
From Kaleidoscope Australia Human Rights Foundation, keeping a watchful eye on LGBTI rights across Asia and the Pacific.
On the World Wide Wave.
Do you feel like you are experiencing a personal challenge and need someone to talk to? If you want to chat about what you are going through in an inclusive, non-judgmental and confidential environment, VAC has counsellors that are here for you. Whether it's anxiety, depression or dealing with a recent diagnosis, it's always okay to ask for help. Call VAC on 9865 6700 to see what your options are, or visit the website at vac.org.au. Don't forget to tune in to Well, Well, Well every Thursday at 8 8 p.m. here on Joy 94.9. VAC, a proud sponsor of Joy.
Hi, this is Tara from the Fiji Women's Rights Movement on the World Wide Wave.
And that's right, we're on World Wide Wave tonight and we're going to East Caribbean. And you can always message in on
0427 Joy 949, as one of our listeners did and has written in and said, "Good evening, World Wide Wave. Another great show as always. I think Rihanna should incorporate more GLBTI concepts into her music, especially in the videos. Janelle Monáe did it recently with her latest song, which has become an anthem for bisexuals."
Oh yeah, I think we should watch this.
The influence of, I guess, art and music shouldn't ever be underestimated. It's quite a sometimes subtle, I suppose, way to get issues on the table without, you know, making it a political one. So, yeah.
So if you have any thoughts about if you've been to East Caribbean or the rules there have affected you or not affected you on holiday, feel free to message in on 0427 Joy 949, and as always we're available for your questions and comments on Facebook.
Now, the Human Rights Watch report on discrimination in the East Caribbean was based on personal interviews. We asked Boris what stories stuck with him the most.
What strikes me when... So I just came back from two of the islands, Barbados and St. Lucia, is how religious people are. Church is playing a dominant role. They are Christians. And usually they think that the church is also condemning homosexual conduct, homosexuality. And so a lot of people feel emboldened by the church to discriminate against LGBT people. What I found out when I was there is that people don't know that, for instance, the Archbishop of the Anglican Church in Barbados gave a speech and said LGBT people should be treated with dignity and respect, and they are one of us, and we shouldn't ostracize them. And the Roman Catholic Church, the Holy See, at a event at the United Nations, gave a statement saying, "We are against discriminatory laws on the basis of sexual orientation, gender identity." So the Roman Catholic Church is against the laws in these islands, and these buggery laws or sodomy laws or gross indecency laws, as they are called, sometimes make homosexual conduct punishable by life imprisonment, like in Barbados, for instance. And so what I found really noteworthy is that a lot of religious people do not know that, for instance, the leadership of the Roman Catholic Church is against very laws they have on the books in the islands.
Why do you think that message is not getting out? I mean, is it that the media is not interested in presenting that message at all, or perhaps is the church taking a quiet approach on this?
Well, the last decades, the evangelical churches have become more and more important on the islands, and some of their ministers are very, very homophobic. And yeah, that is what people hear. Also, politicians, when they want to become popular, get more votes, it's so easy to find a scapegoat. And the best scapegoat, of course, is a vulnerable group. And so LGBT people always pay the price when elections are coming up. One example, I presented a Human Rights Watch report in Barbados, and it's about the effects of the buggery law, life imprisonment in Barbados. Now, the law has not really been used against LGBT people, but the fact that it's on the books gives a license to other people to discriminate against LGBT people. So the report is about the problems LGBT people face in their daily lives, like violence, like isolation, diminished access to healthcare, bullying, harassment, those kind of things. And what happened was that after the launch of the report, a few days later, the Minister of Social Affairs of Barbados gave a speech to his political party. The elections are coming up in Barbados. And he said, well, and then we have this report of Human Rights Watch, and they want to introduce same-sex marriage on the island. And then everybody says, oh, no, we don't want same-sex marriage. But the whole report is about something completely different. So deliberately, he shifts the attention to something he can rally a lot of stray people behind. And then he starts, you know, talking negatively about homosexual conduct. And so there is this tendency to just spread fake news or to target the vulnerability of LGBT people. And that makes it very difficult for them.
You mentioned there the laws are rarely implemented. So are there issues with the police and the LGBT community, or is it more that the community at large is taking actions into their own hands?
No, we interviewed 41 many people, but 41 of the interviews ended up in the report. Several of them, of others, said, we want to share our story, but we don't want you to write about it. Or some of them were too afraid to be outed because they were afraid that if family members would read the report, they might guess that it's their cousin or nephew or son or brother who was talking to us. But there's really a common denominator, and that is that when people are the victim of violence and they turn to the police, most of the times the police don't take their cases seriously. So what happens is, for instance, I remember the story of a guy who was the victim of violence. People threw stones at him and then beat him up when he had a bleeding nose. He went to the police, and then the police officer didn't ask him about who were the attackers, where did it take place, come in the car and we are going to search for them. No, the police officer was questioning him about his lifestyle. Why are you gay and what are you doing when you are gay? And so police, generally speaking, don't take LGBT people and their complaints seriously. So there is this distrust between the LGBT community and the police. And so a lot of victims of violence or discrimination don't even turn to the police anymore because they don't expect any help from them.
You mentioned the response from one of the politicians in Barbados. From your other interactions, have you had any other responses to the report, positive or negative, from the media or political government?
Yes, I have. So during the launch of the report, many journalists were present. It was a press conference, and then we organized a panel discussion with local activists from several of the islands. And the activists were interviewed. So what I can say is that in a positive way, the media responded to the report and brought it in a neutral or sometimes even positive way when we talk about television. For instance, I was a guest on the breakfast show in Barbados, and the journalist who interviewed me was positive in his questions, and he ended by saying, well, let's hope that the report will bring Barbados back together again, and that there will be progress in the island, and that lives of LGBT people will be worth living for, something like that. So I thought that was very positive. It was live television. But the paper, newspapers, they give a mixed picture. A few of them immediately started talking about same-sex marriage, which was not part of the discourse, but that's probably what the journalists know. And then they say, well, there's this international organization trying to push their same-sex marriage values on us, and we don't want that. So that was really negative. So when I saw the interview with the minister in one of those newspapers, I wrote a dispatch and I sent it to them. And let's hope that they will publish my answer, my response to his interview.
We've been talking to Boris Dittrich about the new report on discriminatory laws in the Eastern Caribbean. And Boris, that interview came to us courtesy of Boris and Human Rights Watch.
And it was a fabulous interview. So they've interviewed personal stories from all these people across the Eastern Caribbean. And I thought it was interesting that some people would talk to them but would not have their interviews in the report in case someone, their family member, read it and could identify them. Probably because partially it's such a small population on these islands, you can't get away. And partly because you can't trust anyone. You know, you can't trust the police. Your family can perpetuate violence against you, or they can have violence against them for having you in the family.
Yeah, this is really a common story, isn't it, that we hear from these sort of countries where there's just a lack of any trust in any of the civil institutions, police, the law courts, and then, as you say, the small populations, just the fear of family finding out. Everyone knows everyone's business.
Well, it's quite the catch-22, isn't it? Because you've got members of the LGBTIQ community obviously trying to stay undercover and, you know, save their neck in a community which in itself is not too large. So I guess, you know, other places, other cities where you've got the anonymity that a city affords you, you don't have that on a small island nation. So there's no one that's really going to be sticking their neck out to raise the issues, and so it doesn't happen. Whereas you've got people like the church and the police, and they do have a clear message and a vocal message, and, you know, the church is...
Well, not all churches, remember.
This is true.
Evangelical churches, but the normal perpetrators are actually saying that all people should be treated equally.
So there is that coming through, and I guess that's one of the things that's going to have to grow in severity or in clarity, that message from the non-evangelist and evangelical churches to really push that home. But it's kind of a complex issue, because then you've got, like you were saying, Alex, the civil society, you've got the police that are also reinforcing the negative message. So they're not recognising the community. They're not recognising the crimes and the hardships. So it's tough going.
And Boris was mentioning that on one hand you've got, on, you know, breakfast news, people speaking positively about LGBTI issues, but then in newspapers you've got the opposite message coming out. So sentiment to change, it needs to be, I guess, because a bit more of a positive message coming from all different angles, but at the moment there's like competing voices. And it's great though that he did get that positive coverage on live television.
Yeah, and I think again that we hear a similar story again about this influence. He mentioned towards the end of the interview the influence of how the criticism from abroad is received, and this is a common story you hear in these sort of countries, that again it's homosexuality is sometimes painted by certain members of the community as a Western import, and also that when NGOs and the UN and other organisations attempt to enact change in countries like these, that they are rejected on the grounds that this is sort of a form of neo-colonialism
and trying to get same-sex marriage, which is
And a path towards, yes, opening their society up to all sorts of Western influence that they don't want or need, you know. So
we've had a message in from Sam from South Yarra about this. What is it about same-sex marriage that so many politicians, Australia included, use it as a wedge issue? Get over it.
I guess it's always to polarise, you know, society at two extremes.
Absolutely.
And it eventually, I guess, is more favourable to certain governments to polarise people in such a way, because then they can get elections sort of held on one issue, which they can, I guess, undermine, I guess, the way people vote, and not getting them to think about, you know, a variety of different issues and policies, but getting them to focus specifically on one thing.
Yeah, vote on fear and form a, you know, us and them kind of mentality.
Absolutely, yeah, and it's very much punching down as well, which is popular of, you know, some conservative governments in the world as well to do, especially in regard to LGBT issues. So, yeah, absolutely, it's disgusting that it still happens, but, you know, there's obviously a bit of an advantage in doing that for some governments.
Well, there is some signs of change, so I think we hang on to the fact that there's been positive things on the TV
and churches.
And churches, that was the other one. There are some positive changes coming.
Stay with us here on the World Wide Wave, where tonight we're off to the Caribbean.
This is Douglas.
And this is Paula.
From Kaleidoscope Australia Human Rights Foundation, keeping a watchful eye on LGBTI rights across Asia and the Pacific.
On the World Wide Wave.
If You Slip, You Slide by Mr. Bombastic himself, Shaggy, and featuring Melissa Muzik. And this is, of course, one of our many artists that we're featuring tonight from the Caribbean. And big thanks to Paul for selecting some of these songs for tonight. They've been fantastic. Nothing quite gets you up and dancing like Shaggy.
No, and they've certainly got some interesting titles. I don't know if I'm reading too much into some of those, but yeah.
That's right. And grammatical sort of questionable. Well, I can't even speak myself. Who am I to judge? Some, you know, if you slip, you slide, you spelt the letter U.
Now, don't forget, you can always message us on 0427JOY949, and we are available on Facebook for your questions and comments. And we had a question out there this week. Do you kiss your partner in public? Obviously, in the Caribbean, it is probably not best advised, though plenty of people go on holiday there, and I'm sure they do. And Belinda says, cautiously and in places which feel safe. Yet I wish for my own son to see more of us kiss so he knows it is normal. It's a conundrum indeed, which is why pride events are so damn important. So if you have any thoughts on that, do message us in on 0427JOY949.
Or email us on air at joy.org.au, or you can also get hold of us on Facebook. That's W3JOY on Facebook.
And we have had some more messages from 317. The far right are slowly creeping into our mainstream political parties. Let's not forget that our rights, which have been fought for so hard, can be easily taken away. We think it's all a one-way street. I do. But obviously, it can go backwards, like in America. So let's never be too complacent.
As they say, the broad arch of history is towards progression.
Yes. MLK was Martin Luther King Jr., who just was his anniversary of his shooting just this week as well. So, timely quote.
Yeah.
Also, we have had several requests to play Janelle's song on our show. We will certainly play Janelle's song next time, Django Jane by Janelle Monáe.
It's got a good assonance in the song title, Django Jane. I like it.
Yeah, absolutely. Fabulous.
I have to say, just quickly, on kissing your partner in public, butterfly kisses, cow kisses, or kisses?
And I would raise a question, is it always something about, you know, is there really anything to do with fear of homophobic reaction? Or some people like me just don't like PDA, you know?
Yep, absolutely. I don't like it
from anyone, you know, especially my parents.
Not even holding hands?
Well, no, but I mean,
in moderation.
Holding hands is fine, but kissing, you know, peck's fine, but don't open the mouth, please. All right, now we are in the Eastern Caribbean, and there are many where there are many discriminatory laws and threats of violence. And we asked our interviewee Boris Dietrich from Human Rights Watch what happens to local activists.
Most of the people are still in the closet because they know what the price is they have to pay when they come out to their community. But several of them are out, and those people usually have support of their family, because other people who came out, LGBT people who came out, left the islands and emigrated to Canada or the US or Europe, maybe even to Australia, I don't know. But they couldn't keep on living on the islands because they were discriminated against on a daily basis by everybody, more or less. That's why the report is called I Have to Leave to Be Me, because the person we talked to said, well, I cannot really live here anymore because constantly I'm being discriminated against. So in order to be myself, I have to start a life somewhere else. But the others who are out and who stayed in their countries, they are really very brave. Some of them are very visible. Let me mention one name, Kenida Placide. She is based in St. Lucia, but she's also the executive director of a regional LGBT group called ECAID. ECAID stands for Eastern Caribbean Alliance of Diversity and Equality. And they cover those seven countries we are covering in the report. And she is on TV. She is participating in panel discussions and always talking about how to fight discrimination. She gives courses to the police force in St. Lucia. And so she's very visible. And sometimes, of course, she's also the victim of harassment or bullying, or people are swearing at her, but she is somebody who knows how to talk back.
And it's great to hear that there are such strong-willed people willing to fight to take things forward. Boris Dietrich, the Advocacy Director for LGBT Rights Programs at Human Rights Watch, thanks for joining us on Worldwide Wave.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
And that was Boris Dietrich. A wonderful interview, a great resource for anyone to kind of follow personal stories and use that to really try and change governments in the long run. We asked a question, do you kiss in public? And we have 317, my partner and I cheekily kiss longer in restaurants if we see a conservative couple.
Good move. I would take it even further and start feeding each other food, perhaps, on each other's forks raise the bar, raise the stakes a bit.
Yeah, that's like non-violent, you know, protest.
Absolutely.
Isn't it?
Martin Luther King would be proud with that non-violent protest. Cutting your partner's steak for them and feeding it to them in public.
Or the pasta thing, the Beauty and the Tramp. I don't know if I'm too old.
That would be a great one, too. I've always admired folks who could pull that one off.
You're listening to the World Wide Wave, where tonight we have been in the Caribbean.
This is Scott from the Equality Network Scotland on the World Wide Wave.
You're listening to World Wide Wave. Now, I think that when it comes to public displays of affection in an overseas setting, one has to rethink the situation. Certainly on my recent travels, I would make a decision depending on, I guess, whether I was within the resort or out of the resort. I guess a couple's massage out of the resort, I guess that's not very, you know, romantic, is it?
Yeah, that's not too risky.
Okay, maybe I have crossed the line then and made a public display of affection.
But you stayed out of jail, so that's good.
That's true.
And I can give one tip, actually, when I've done this a few times in Southeast Asia. Riding a motorbike, sharing a motorbike ride is a really easy way to get some free touching in.
What about...
discreet touching.
In Southeast Asia, where you can get share a fish tank and get, you know, as a couple, get your feet cleaned by the
nibbled by
fish.
Less romantic. I'm definitely spending most of my time screaming during that process.
Yeah, I'd be doing the motorbike before the fish tank.
Yep.
Yeah, you might horrify the fish, sure, through your PDA.
Well, we've had a wonderful show tonight, and we would like to thank our interviews, which was Boris Dittrich, the Advocacy Director of the LGBT Rights Programme at Human Rights Watch, and you can find all of their information and that report at www.hrw.org. And also thanks to the many people who've messaged in.
Yes, we've had a bunch of interaction on Facebook from Xavier, Keith, Saab, Ellie, Rex, and also Belinda. So thanks very much for doing that. You can find us on W3Joy on Facebook. And of course, for all the fantastic messages we've had in on email and SMS tonight from 317 and Sam. And Melina, of course.
Yeah. And we would also like to thank our podcaster, now presenter, Alex.
That's me.
Now you get to hear the voice behind all the finest podcasts that you listen to.
Yeah, be nice or I'll cut you out of the next edit.
Our front desk has been Neil. And next, stay tuned for Urban Dreaming with the team with stories of resilience, survival and connecting with culture and spirituality. And tonight they are talking to a poet, Wani.
Boom shakala.
You're listening to World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Tell me all about your intentions. You got my attention. Show me what you can do. You got all the things I like. Yeah. Plus you can dance. You know that's a good sign.
Straight from the islands. You set this club on fire. Girl, I know what you desire. I might let you change my life. Oh, I think I found me a wife. Back me up against the wall. Girl, you know the rest. These people are breaking their necks. We should have our own private jets. And I don't even need to flex. But ooh, 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 I see diamond rings. All I see is diamond rings. Like designer things, I know we can be more than friends. Go, big plans, big plans.
Thanks for listening to another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. Worldwide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online across the world at joy.org.au. You'll find all of our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.